Thursday, July 14th, 7:54 a.m., and we are officially leaving to go on a freaking mission trip, taking a boat out to the Bahamas.
You're going to get together. Some gems, I know it.
Yeah.
But our combination of people, like Tyler, Mr. Zwerg,
mm-hmm.
you and I, like, we're going to have some good conversations going.
Yeah. So we've got 3 days in the RV until we get to Key Largo. And then we have about a day out, and then pretty much like 8 days there at Bimini, right?
Yeah. I think, is it 2 days at all? Because we leave today, we get that, we like depart the 19th. So it would be like 2 days in the RV.
Okay, so it's only 2 days? I thought he was saying it was going to be 3 days. But if it is 2 days, then that just makes it more time in Bimini.
Absolutely.
Amen to that.
I was kind of hoping plan A wouldn't work out and we would defer to plan B.
Which was?
Oh, I think Mrs. Berg talked about it at Tyler's party. Plan B would have been if they didn't give us a free, like, slip to stay in the marina.
Uh-huh.
There's a bunch of islands that are about 1 day sail away from each other.
Uh-huh.
So we would have just island hopped the whole time.
Yeah, I remember that now. That would be pretty cool.
Going to see the island of pigs where, like, the pigs eat fish and stuff. Like, that'd be pretty awesome.
That would be so awesome. And we even should do that.
Why not?
Just why not?
I mean, we have, like, the ability to just go anywhere. Yeah. There's no roads. Like,
and there's no, like, school administration, you know, saying that, you know, I gotta do this. You know, it's like, you can do whatever the heck you want to do.
Yeah, it's not like a field trip.
Right.
It's probably not open. It's needed a toothbrush. Open.
That might help.
Let's see. 8 a.m. It's not 8.
Oh, that's so close. You can knock.
True.
Why not? It is 7:57, which is practically 8 in my book. I mean, it was 8 like 30 minutes ago in my book.
Really?
Yeah. You know me and my not desiring to get up early.
Gotcha.
So that concluded our little intro from when we were driving from Diamond Head to Ocean Springs. And here's a little clip of all of us on the RV driving down the road and having a bit of a religion and political discussion with a lot of really interesting and different points of views. So here you go.
Right. Is he even really a sheriff? Exactly. He could just be wearing
that. I was watching him as he was going through the store, you know, to ascertain if this guy a crazy guy, so he could shoot somebody up.
Right.
Well, and what would the policeman, who had 3 guns on his belt, not just 1 handgun, but 3, plus the taser, need an AR-15 for? Hunting?
Because do you use AR-15s for hunting?
Yeah, do you use AR-15s for hunting?
Maybe.
You do, you just can't eat the meat afterwards.
You just can't eat the meat afterwards.
But, and what was crazy, because...
Well, it is holy.
There you go.
But I was having this discussion with Jason Bates, and he's actually fairly reasonable, because he didn't come at me about, you know, how stupid... you know, all these people are, you know, who are anti-gun and stuff like that. He was just giving an educated discussion about, because he's an avid gun owner.
Yeah.
And he went through his whole plan. If there comes an invasion in his house, he's got 3 different places. He's got guns. He's got the setup. He knows exactly what he's going to do when. I mean, he's got it down. He explained everything. And he said, and I asked him, you know, politely, why do you feel like you need an assault rifle and handguns and a shotgun? I said, you know, what helps? And he said, handguns and AR-15 or something like that. He had an M4. It's going to do about the same damage, but he said he can get better aim with an M4, the assault rifle. And he said, the reason being is because he doesn't want to kill anyone who would come and invade. He just wants to, incapacitate him and shoot him in the leg. And he said he thinks he can get better aim with an assault rifle than he would with a handgun. You know, and so, I mean, I get that if you feel more comfortable with it, but
but you wouldn't you blow off somebody's leg?
Yeah, if you do like that. You're too close.
Yeah, I mean,
if it's a home invader, you're not shooting a target 100 meters away.
Right, yeah. Right.
He's in front of
right.
you.
That's true.
Right.
You're aiming through your front door.
And if it was me, if somebody's invading my home, I'm shooting a kill.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
I can tell you, though, I'm not the greatest shot in the world.
Me either.
But I can shoot someone in the leg with a handgun.
Mm-hmm.
No problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
No
yeah.
problem.
I don't need
and
a
also,
to do
and
that.
Also, even if you miss, you got the shot off.
Okay, so I got him in the hip. He's still laying on the ground. Going, ow! What'd you do that for?
You broke
my front door for. Hello?
Right.
It was interesting,
I was
though.
To sell my product. So it was an, hey, would you like some of my product?
But what was that stat? Tyler, I think you had mentioned in the group text that I think it's like point, then four zeros, and then two. So 0.00002% of all home invasions end up in a lethal shooting. And so, like, the whole, you know, you need it for protection. Is more or less fear-mongering than
yeah,
it is.
It doesn't add up.
Right.
Yeah. No, statistically, though, but if someone comes and invades your home...
It's, right, it's very personal.
Then it's different.
Right.
You know.
Well, I can see owning a handgun, and I'm not against guns, in theory, but I can see owning a handgun, I can see owning a shotgun or a hunting gun.
Mm-hmm.
But I cannot justify an AR-15, an M4.
I'm with you. I'm like,
you don't need an assault rifle. I
right.
cannot justify that in the slightest.
Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah.
And nor do I think that even with a handgun, I don't think he should have been able just to carry it out the store.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, there was no box.
Yeah, what happened to the three-day waiting period and stuff like that?
Well, it might have been
his 3 day.
It might have.
Yeah.
But I still think it should be in a box.
Yeah.
Like it leaves
yeah.
in a box.
Yeah.
I agree.
Like he's
I
just
agree.
Walking out with it on his
yeah.
back.
Yeah. I mean, when I go buy, you know, a shower curtain for my shower, you know, it's not like I just take the stock one.
Yeah,
it's in a packaging, you know.
You don't just take the box. Which that's ludicrous.
Mm-hmm.
Ludicrous. Sorry, I had to do that.
And he's wrong. You don't know what that man was thinking. But now you've armed him. And
yeah.
he doesn't even have to open it.
No.
Like, at least if he was crazy, he would have to open the box.
Mm-hmm.
Make him do some work for it.
Right.
Well, and it would alert people. This kind of desensitizes people to the fact that people walk out of there with great big guns.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, if you walked outside and you saw someone opening an MR4 on the side, you're walking the other way.
Right. What did you see then? You know, another thing, I mean, and I didn't think about it while I'm standing there talking to him, but, you know, with all the crap that's going on and people killing, you know, cops and everything, that's not really cool for him to be walking around that big old thing.
No,
like
right.
That's kind of like
right.
putting a target on your back.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean,
with that that comes with the whole can of worms, the Black Lives Matter, the All Life Matters,
the Blue Lives Matter,
the cop, I mean, it's just...
It's us against them.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's really not that at all.
No, but it devolves into that.
Right, well, and it's like what I was posting on Facebook when it first started happening, you know, I had mentioned that, you know, at least look at it humanely, that... You know, after the videos came out, and what's crazy is these are videos of a person getting shot and then dying on camera, and it's all over, you know, social media. And, you know, I said at least we can look at it humanely and say, you know, give this guy a chance. He may not have deserved to be shot with six, you know, hot pieces of lead in his chest.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, I was like, you know, I get it. He may be guilty, may have lots of problems, you know. We don't know the facts, but at least look at it from that standpoint.
Yeah, I see that. But in America, like, I mean, in times of need, a deputy of the law can kill. That is there. But that's not in times of need.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think that's
not in times of need.
A deputy of the law can shoot you lethally in times of need.
Right.
Like, if they're armed.
Yeah.
If it's, but in a traffic stop... Six bullets in a chest is not a time of need.
No.
Right.
Even if they were guilty, even if they were holding tons of drugs and illegal aliens or whatever you want to call it, it's illegal.
Right.
They, if an American citizen, still deserve due process. And then they'll spend the rest of their life in jail.
Yeah,
right.
But I mean, if they do a traffic stop and there's drugs and the guy pulls out a
sure, then his life is threatened.
Yeah.
But this thing with, you know, six cops standing around one person and you don't know, you can't tell if they've got a gun and they're just shooting them.
Well, you see, even in the, if he pulls out a gun, a cop should be trained to disarm rather than shoot.
Right.
Shooting should be the last resort.
Absolutely. I mean, like, I saw another video recently,
and if you are at a traffic stop in the window and he pulls out a gun, you should be able to get into the window and disarm that perpetrator.
And police officers wear bulletproof vests, so I mean,
yeah, they do.
You've got protection. You start off in a lot better position than the person you're disarming.
Do they all wear bulletproof vests?
Yeah.
I would think.
I don't think they all.
No?
I don't think so either.
Okay.
And if he pulls out a gun and I'm standing there, he's going to shoot me before I can disarm him. You know.
I don't think so.
And the
if
biggest.
You're standing by the driver's side window and he pulls out his gun. And
you're not going to let him, like. Even when he's reaching for something, you should be in there. Regardless of if he's grabbing a pack of gum.
Right.
There's a chance that he might pull out a gun. You should be in there taking him out of the equation.
Yeah.
You shouldn't allow him to get to that point where he just brings it out.
Right. Well, and the thing that I get most outraged about, and this was another video I saw on Facebook, that the guy, it was like, he was just standing outside getting a radio in, and it might have been a radio about this person having a warrant, but he opens the door, drags him out, and then the lady in the passenger seat was like, what's going on? And another cop comes in, takes the gun, and puts it right to her head and says, I will put an effing bullet in your head right now.
That's just wrong.
No, yeah, absolutely.
I don't think that represents cops as a whole. I think it's just certain
people. Right, it's certain people. And
we can all agree on that.
Right.
I mean, they're bad
people.
Yeah, exactly. And what's weird is some people like aren't even willing to recognize that there are bad cops until it comes out 3 months later that he's been arrested. You know, it's like, oh, well, I guess he got one case.
Yeah. I mean, like Danielle said, there are bad people in every bunch
in
of
every
apples.
Group. Absolutely.
And that's what one thing that the people on this news thing that I saw this morning at the protest, that's one thing they said. They said, you know, all cops are not bad. We want to recognize the ones that do their job and do it well, you know. And that was coming from a black lady, you know. It was like,
apparently, just like the Supreme Court, everyone has a bias. And if you are a racist cop, you are more likely to shoot someone of different ethnicity than you.
Yes.
Point blank.
There might ought to be some, and I don't know what things are in place already, but some sort of affirmative action for cops, you know, as there is in college, where you're getting people from different, you know, ethnic backgrounds, different, you know, political mindsets, just so that way you, I mean, and it's harder in some areas. Huh? Yeah. Everything is recorded. And so, you know, as colleges do, just to try to increase diversity, to try to, you know, get different people with different, because, I mean, you could get a cop that, you know, is a Black Lives Matters, you know, endorser and believes that all white people are racist and it's going to pull a gun on a white person, you know.
Same thing.
It's the exact same thing. There's no need for either of those.
Which is why I think inherently the training of cops, the control of cops in terms of like a higher authority and a hierarchy, should really be vigilant for those kinds of things.
Absolutely.
Be unbiased cops. You can't have a biased cop.
Right.
I mean,
it's just sad that, you know, a few people that are prejudiced ruin it for everybody.
Yep.
Because I have talked to so many blacks just in the last few days, and that they are not in this
mix. Exactly.
Right,
And that stems from the superior race, quote unquote, deeming that group bad because of a few bad individuals.
Yeah.
Like the Muslims.
Yeah.
Because a few Islamic terrorists are bad, therefore the whole Muslim religion is bad.
Right.
Right.
I mean, it happens all over the world.
And then you have confirmation bias that people will say that and then look into the religion and then find the little nitpicky things and say, well, look, you know, this shows it. I mean, you can do the same for Catholicism.
Yeah, buying a white collar, you notice all the other white cars.
Right.
I mean, look at the Westboro Baptist Church.
Exactly.
They have a Christian mindset
that people are whatever. I hate LGBTQ members or whatever. Right. And then they go to the Bible and they find all the examples of that. Whether it really means that or not, it's a confirmation bias. Oh, wow, you must really hate fags. I'm going to,
right.
And that's not it at all.
Yeah, and that little group of people makes it, you know, bad for the rest of the faithful believers.
Exactly.
You know, or the one Christian that goes and blows up the abortion clinic, you know, whatever.
It's I think it's definitely a social thing, though. But even though there are Christians who blow up abortion clinics and all the Westboro Baptist Church, all those things are separate from the other Christians in the Baptist Church.
Absolutely. Like, that's what I'm saying. They kind of give things a bad name, you know.
I don't think so.
It's like a few black people giving every black people a bad name because they're like, you know.
Sure, I can see that, but I can't see people saying all Baptists are bad.
Yeah, there
people
are,
specifically refer to the Westboro Baptist Church as bad.
Right.
I don't know if they have the whole religion.
Less of a social like aura around Baptists that are bad. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Just like with, in terms of religion, even though there are Christian terrorists, I've never heard someone call the Christian religion a fear-mongering religion.
Right, okay. Right.
And let me interject one thing. The Westboro Baptist Church is not a worldwide movement.
No,
you're right.
You know what I mean? The terrorist thing, the ISIS is.
Yes,
right.
That's
even if
true.
It's small,
it is
a worldwide movement.
Right.
That makes a difference.
Yeah,
I
was going to say, an ISIS is a whole different ballgame.
It's not the same. It's not
an
exact
analogy. You know, they just walk around on, you know.
And
terrorist groups like that are completely, because you do have to group them individually. I mean, you
got to be ready to go to war with them because they are at war with us.
Right. Well, and what's interesting, I mean, the way one guy put it is, you know, you have the potential for, you know, a president that will say, you know, you could have someone who's grown up here, who's 16 years old, who has been an American citizen all their life, who is a Muslim, and now with the different presidency, they say you're not welcome here and you have to be on a register and we need to watch you and monitor you to make sure that you don't do anything crazy. That's very easy to radicalize, you know, because wow, these people are against me now.
That's exactly
that's what ISIS is preying on.
Sure, ISIS exists, other terrorist groups exist. But I think because of our reaction to those terrorist groups, we breed more terrorist groups.
I mean, we still drop 100 bombs a day.
Sure, and those bombs are not ISIS targeting bombs. They hit
whatever the bomb lands on. Right.
No, they are targeted bombs. They may be incidental damage, but it's not just random.
I mean,
we do a very, very good job of trying to hold down. Civilian casualties.
I don't know if I agree with the statement on, you know, that we're breeding more terrorist attacks. Mm-hmm. Those guys hate us. Mm-hmm.
Those terrorists.
Yeah, those terrorists hate us.
Not the Islamic religion.
Oh, I know.
Right.
But that's not what I'm saying.
I'm saying, like, from a standpoint of being able to radicalize and recruit, you know, they're able to twist what happens in the Western world and then say, oh, well, look, they hate you. No.
Exactly, and that's what's going on with
them,
is our attacks to ISIS. ISIS is turning around and saying, look, Islamic people, look at how a bunch of America hates you.
Right.
And they are like, wow, America really does hate me. I'm not going to be radical. You know, that's how people get radicalized.
And remember, I mean, you know, even in a place where, like in Russia, that is not necessarily third world. I mean, they have a pretty industrialized nation. You know, the Russian government pretty well censors Russian television.
Yeah.
Imagine how, you know, anywhere in the Islamic, you know, caliphates of Iraq, Iran, you know, television is not like, you know, you split to CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, you know, see all of them. I mean, it's only like the ones that they're willing to show you.
Exactly.
And so, I mean, it's very easy.
It's the ones that align with their views.
Right. And that's why we're lucky that we have everything from Fox News to MSNBC.
Yeah.
And it's not just, you know, like, government news. And that's the only news, you know, because it'd be so easy to twist whatever happens.
And that's what's happening is these terrorist groups have gained momentum in their countries and have started to convince other people that we, as Americans or as first world countries trying to protect ourselves from these terrorist groups, not only hate the groups, but they twist it into, we hate all Muslims.
Yeah.
There's no now these other Muslims feel threatened.
Right.
Even though, like you said, the bombs are targeted,
right.
But they all feel threatened because it's happening all around
them. And remember, ISIS claims themselves to be the leader of the Islamic world. You know, they are the Ur of Islam. You know, this is how Islam should be. You know, even though you ask the other 99% of Muslims in the world that are following the religion as a very peaceful and reasonable religion, you know, they're like, no, that's not what it's supposed to be. So
there's a definite split in all religions, but most apparent in Islam, just because of the radicalized and the non-radicalized. I mean,
well, and its location. If Christianity were in the Middle East and Islam was the westernized religion, it would be the same thing. You know, especially both of them being Abrahamic religions, you know, that are based off of pretty much the same principles.
Right. The only difference is where the Islamic faith is based now has a lot of political, motives besides the religious.
Right. Because that's the religion runs the countries. You know, we've separated religion from our government, which has helped us.
Yeah, you're right.
The Islamic caliphates of Iran, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, and go on.
Now that you mention that, I think that's the most important thing is we've separated, or we have done our best to separate God from the government. And I think even if it was switched and Islam was a westernized name, religion, and they separated and we did not, it would be the same.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in past times, Christians were the ones going over and, what's the Inquisition?
Right.
We were in that area.
Our government, for the most part, was ruled by a pope.
Yeah.
It was very theocratic, and so was theirs. So we have two very different ideas converging at this huge political... I mean, at that time, that no one knew there was huge amounts of oil or mineral deposits or whatever, but it's still a huge political area.
Yeah. Well, and if you notice, you could use the word progress, but maybe perhaps industrialization slowed down under a theocratic, Europe. You had the Renaissance and Enlightenment period that happened after that,
that
religion-based, politics, and before that it was 1,000 years of Crusades. And then you started having people who would, think and say, well, let's just run a government that's not associated with religion. Because it was very easy, and this is the question I would always ask Coach Bobby. See, we talk about doctors of the Catholic Church who said something that was profound or even a little bit apart from the doctrine that shifted the Catholic Church to be more in line with it. And so I asked him, what was the difference between St. Augustine, who was a doctor of the church, and Martin Luther, who wrote the 95 Theses and was excommunicated? You know, where was that line drawn? And so it's the course of events.
It is. I mean, you can't rewrite history, but that is the course of events, and it ended up here. I mean, all those things played a factor into where we are today.
Yeah.
All the Crusades. I mean, not just the main four or five, but all of them. A lot of people don't know.
Mm-hmm.
They were constant crusades. It wasn't just the four or five main ones you hear about.
Right.
They were constant crusades.
Yeah.
Never once have you heard Islamic crusades to Europe.
No.
There was nothing for them in Europe.
And really, now is the time in history that the religion, not even, because I mean, under Christian crusades, it was a concentrated effort from the top. You know, there really is no pope of the Islamic religion, because there are two sects with the Shiites and the Sunnis.
Yeah.
And so there's no real, yes, you are a leader. You know, it's like, no, this is our leader. No, this is our leader.
Yeah.
And so you don't have any kind of concentrated effort, and you have people like ISIS saying, well, we're going to be the leaders.
Right.
And started.
Back in the 70s, you had the Ayatollah.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep. And you have the Taliban, and it goes on and on.
The list could go on. But inherently, all of those groups share the same thing. And that is just fear.
Yeah.
Hate mongering.
Hatred, yeah.
I mean, it's hatred.
Yeah. And that's what's beautiful, though, is that we have what we have here. I mean, people who use their religion not as, a reason to prove other people wrong, but just to, be like, I am a you know, you can say I'm a part of some Catholic mission, like my grandma was talking about. Do what?
Miss Dye. Like she used.
Right, Miss Dye. Right. You know, and.
Mother Teresa. Yeah, the interesting thing about Dye, though, we were talking about this the other day, is not once did she mention what religion she went to.
No.
What church she went to. Or did she ask us what religion we were going in the name of? Or what church we were going with.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not once
she asked if she could pray for us.
Yeah.
It was
a cool experience.
Just the way she started
her hair.
God,
it's
so cool.
I love that.
Love this.
I immediately looked up. Yeah, we're all kind of head bowed and holding hands, and she just goes, God, you are just so cool. And I looked up. I was like, what? What's really going on?
Yeah.
Not once did she ask us anything. It's just amazing. Like, it doesn't... I mean, I'm very immature religion. I don't have a problem with it. But I'm not... I don't want to get a church or anything like that. But the way she uses religion, like, I can get into that. Like,
yeah.
How she does it.
Yeah.
This is just more helping people.
Yeah.
Well, let's draw this back to the kind of mob hive mentality we're talking about with these protesters and Black Lives Matter movement. Is inherently, that's what religion is a mob.
Yeah.
And while most of the time that mob spends their Sabbath in a building and after that leaves, sometimes that mob can turn based on the leader of that time. And that's what happened during the Crusades.
Yeah.
I believe in some cases, a lot of people who stick to like the eight code religions are the people who don't have a feeling of structure or balance in their life. So they have to cling on to some kind of ideology to make themselves feel safe. So put all of their interests in a leader or a grand person or grand entity to decide their morals and their values for them instead of themselves choosing their own way to live through life. So, that's cool. But like, and so whenever they make these crazy ideas, like for example in the Crusades, one of the most sick parts of it was like, if you go and kill somebody in the Crusade, and you had killed two people back home, you're forgiven for those two murders, and you're forgiven for your sins by killing other people in the name of
religion.
Right.
It's just like a sad way. You know,
it's always the extremist, you know.
Well, and I've always said money and or power and greed are the things that run the world, unfortunately. Because you look at like that's power.
Industrialized
world is it. You know, there's a lot of greed, you know, and preying on people, like with the sales calls. If it really is a scam, that's totally based on greed, you know, of scamming someone out of an actually good product, only for the fact that you would be making money, you know.
Or those emails you get, I'm a Angolan prince and need to transfer millions of dollars into your bank account. I mean, it's the same thing. It's just someone that's greedy.
Yeah.
A pretty bad liar, but greedy.
Well, let me read y'all something. The other day I was at the mall, and y'all might have seen this on Facebook, but I was at the mall, and there was a Black lady cleaning the bathroom. Okay, that was her job. And so I put on here, I go, I just had the best exchange with a Black lady cleaning the bathroom in the mall, Miss Diana. We were talking about all the crap in the world, and I said, it sure is good to see your smiling happy face with all the stuff going on. And she said, honey, we just got to let God deal with all that. That's his job, and I don't even think he's hiring, so I'm just going to let him handle it. And I was like, what an attitude, especially with the job she has. She made my day. But it was, you know.
Sure, I can see that. Yeah, I can see the hope, and I can see the faith. Yeah. But you know, in the reality, if she doesn't do anything, nothing will change.
Right.
If she just says, let go and let God, nothing will happen.
Yeah.
Right.
But absolutely nothing. I'm sorry, but it won't. Like, if he were to let go of the wheel and say, Jesus, take the wheel, you know what would happen? We would all crash and die.
Well, and, like the I think the way that I've used, at least my personal denomination, and let go, let God, is it, you know, and you can take it from a totally not theocratic basis that, you know, there's a faith that you have, a destiny, and this is what I've always made it akin to, is that, you know, you're going to end up somewhere. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Hopefully, we end up in Bimini. Hopefully. I'm not going to jinx it. But hopefully, that's where we end up. You know, and we could pray that we're going to end up there. And if that's just ultimately our fate, we can equally say, you know, it's his choice whether or not we're going to end up there. You know, so it really...
Yeah, I can see that. And
what I'm saying from that is just trusting that there are some things that you can't control, but I think asking him to control something that you can control, you know, is like you said, letting go of the wheel and just saying, he'll take it.
Yeah, right. Because he won't.
Right.
Right. What I took from that was just, you know... not getting in on the hate.
Right.
She just wasn't getting in on the hate. You know,
that's all it is hate.
And she was spreading, and I said this, I was like, you know, yeah, we just gotta, you know, make our little corner of the world a happier, mm-hmm. better place, you know. And she's like, that's right, honey, you know. Yeah.
And
so,
that's doing something.
Yeah.
That is
and what she was doing
face.
In that bathroom, you know, she's got the crappiest job, you know, literally, no pun intended, she's got the crappiest job.
Right.
And she's in there with a smiling face, and she's talking to white people, talking black, you know. You know what I'm saying?
And she's making people smile.
Right.
That's doing something. That is making a change in the world.
Yeah.
It's interesting, those people. I think religion is used a lot in terms of hope, in terms of things you can't understand, things you can't control. I mean, I think it's a great basis for people to have hope, have faith.
Yeah.
But it's not necessary. But it's not my thing, but some people need that faith. Some people need that hope that it's going to be a better tomorrow if I just have faith.
Well, and like you said, it's not necessary. You know, I mean, you can go your entire life with your own hope. You know, that...
Right. Yeah, I mean,
know.
I meant hopeful atheists, hopeful agnostics, hope that... I mean, every single person has their own way of hoping, and that's all it is a way to focus your hope, is a faith-based... I don't know. Especially in church, it's a group-based thing. Not only are you hoping for what you're going to do, and hoping we get the bimini or we do this, but you're hoping as a group that the church succeeds, that our fish fry this Lent does well so we can feed the homeless or whatever. And it's a communal thing. You come together and you all share a hope.
Yeah.
People like that.
Yeah.
People are drawn to those close bonds that form there. But I think in the end, it is just hope.
It's, you know, and I'm not trying to like bash religious people, because I mean I was in the Baptist church. I raised my kids in the Baptist church for 25 years, and then I finally jumped ship. But what bothers me is like on Facebook the other day, one of my friends puts on there, please pray for my sweet husband. He's, you know, he's got an exam tomorrow. You know, blah, blah, blah. Right. And I know, you know, I understand their, I understand what they're asking.
Right.
But, you know, to ask people to pray for something like that just always, it just bugs me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
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 Exactly.
Thank you.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a hope thing. I hope he does well.
Yeah.
Right.
But
yeah.
if you
but,
pray, it's not going to change his score.
Right.
Right.
If
yeah.
he spends all night praying, he will fail.
Although I will say, having a hopeful attitude helps.
Yes, it does. Everybody needs to have
hope. Oh, absolutely.
I
have a hopeful
kind of like
attitude, but I'm not a believer.
Exactly. It's got to be.
An optimistic viewpoint moves you forward. A pessimistic viewpoint.
Absolutely.
So, a hope versus no hope, or faith versus no hope, faith often leads to the same.
I agree.
Yeah, absolutely.
I had a tripod.
We are making a wonderful podcast right
Look
now.
Look at the veins in my feet.
Oh my God, are you recording all this conversation?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Well, we have a podcast that we post online. And so.
Oh, she's got the crappiest job. No pun intended.
Bonnie the Blue Jay strikes again. Danielle?
I didn't know he was recording all that.
I hate to bug you, but can we switch so I can fix that seat?
I guess you got your answer, didn't you? Like a cat.
Socks.
Really?
All you have to do is scoot over to the left.
Where are you going, Tyler?
I'm
going
to sit right here.
I don't know. Sometimes I'm just baffled by some of the crazy
Tyler's
ideas. Yeah, I'm going to take Tyler's seat because they were born into certain ideas.
Oh, yeah.
I was that way because I was really born into certain things. But like, as I gained more questioning ability and the ability to like think critically about things, I was like, wait a second, these ideas are just really, really weird. So
that's finally the point that I came to, but in my like my late 40s. It took me that long because I was raised a Southern Baptist, and you weren't supposed to, well, I had a rebellious
you don't mind
when
sitting
I was a
here
teenager, but you just weren't supposed to question. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. You know, that kind of mentality. And Tim, my husband, was raised in the Episcopal Church. He's got more of a critical thinking mind, and he was questioning things. We got to a lot of fights over that because it's like, how can you question? And then when I finally went, the light bulb, yeah, you're right. That just doesn't make sense, mm-hmm. does it?
Right. Yeah.
You know.
Well, so. And what I love, I was raised in the Episcopal Church, and it's funny how, and see, this is what I'm talking about. It was totally fate that I would be, because it aligns with me politically perfectly. Like, you could just take what they would say, and then it would just be like, yeah, I'll go for it. Because I have already made my political decisions, and that just fits.
Wow.
And what happened is my mom was Catholic. She got divorced and couldn't go through an annulment. And so she went to the Episcopal Church, which my dad was already a part of. And so they got married. He was a part of the Episcopal Church. And in the Episcopal Church, you're allowed to not, you know, you're allowed to be divorced and remarried,
right.
And so on. But it's funny because the way that they do the catechism, they have a couple, like, they have like a page of like questions, like, you know, this is like, you know, this is how we got started. But literally, like, the basis of the catechism is you figure it out on your own. It's what they quote, trust in the Holy Spirit to tell you what you know, how you feel. And that's what I love. It's like, I can allow my faith and all these other people's faith, however we all believe it, to come together and say, well, I see it slightly differently, but we can use the same keys. You know what I mean?
And and I think that's...
just weather.
You know, I think that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I can't figure out what exactly I'm trying to say, but
it's
I think that if you're going to be religious, I think that's how it should be.
Right.
It should be a come togetherness instead of, you know, always trying to, in the Baptist church, and I'm not trying to bash Baptists, mm-hmm. but in my church in particular, the one reason I finally left is because they heap on guilt on you. You're not witnessing enough, you're not doing this, you're not evangelizing, and I couldn't deal with the guilt.
Right.
It's supposed to be salvation is a free gift, but we were always told to work.
Might be the one below that.
So,
but
I like religions that are being like, believe in knowing God and want to share it, but not proselytizing.
Right. And that's one of the biggest things with my faith and physical faith is that it's like the biggest, you know, it's whatever faith you are, it's however you believe, you're always welcome here because we don't have a set of beliefs that you have to follow, you know.
My neighbors in Baton Rouge were Hindus, you know, and at the time when I was living next to them, I was very strong in the Baptist faith, and I tried so hard to, like, convert them. And, you know, Sunita would tell me all the time, she's like, you know, God loves everybody, loves all religions, blah, blah, blah. And now I get it. Then I didn't. But now it's like what you just said.
Right.
You know, it's...
and that's what's crazy, you know, like you said, it's like now, you know, I see, because one of the things that I love about politics and religion is that it doesn't matter how much you try, you're probably not going to convert anyone, you know? I mean, everyone makes their own decisions. And so, you know, I try to say things that support what I say, and I try to enlighten people to reasons that I have found that would support it, you know, but just telling people that you're wrong, I'm telling you I'm right. You know, I mean, it's kind of like with what Trump is, you know, always saying, you know, he's like, listen, we're going to do it great. It's going to be wonderful. We're going to fix it. There's a big problem. We're going to fix it. He never tells you how we're going to fix it.
Right.
It's just, we're going to fix it. Yeah. It's all going to be done. Don't worry about it. You know, we're going to make America great again. You know, and it's always just, you know, it's just going to be done.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, and the thing is, it's so easy to say that when you get in office like that, but you and I both know, you know, there's so many wires that are connected that you have to disconnect.
I mean, look at
how do you do it? And,
right. Look at the last 2 years of Obama's presidency has been totally different than what he would have expected with a Republican Congress and a Republican Senate, you know. And it's just, you know, wherever your political beliefs align, you know, it was, it doesn't matter what's on his agenda, you know, they just can, they can try different things, but, you know, ultimately it's going to work out one way or another, you know.
Speaking about the religious topic, like, I remember one time I started to learn, I saw this this documentary about something called mysticism, which is basically you think that, like, the most important thing is love, and, like, everything's connected in some way, like, the universe came from the Big Bang, everything started from this one single point. Every single religion goes back to that. One point, it all started, everything that matters is the only thing that matters is love. Like, every single major religion started out saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, like, when I still kind of, like, I still participated in church because I was in my culture and I was born into it, whatever. But, like, when I still believed in, like, a certain entity or something, I was like, wait a second. If all of these different religions say the same thing, what if I'm worshiping the wrong God? And then I realized, wait a second. If I'm doing the actions that it says to do, I wouldn't be wrong anyway, because that's what matters is if I realize that I'm connected with everyone else I come in contact with, and if I spread love, that's all that matters. That's all that matters. But, like, institutions are self-serving, and so they'll make rules and regulations and concepts that make people stick to the religion. So, an example, in Catholicism, they want you to have as many kids as you want, or as many kids as you can, to get more members.
Yeah.
Or it's a sin to leave the church, because they want to keep you in their grasp. They want to, like, keep you stuck there. So.
Yeah, I was a Christian Catholic and raised Baptist.
But I was gonna say, talking about just basically, and one of the thoughts that I had, because it was interesting. We've been doing this podcast since January, thinking about different things and using kind of what happens in our daily life, you know, to put it together, and. One of the revelations I had while we were actually sitting in church one day at confession was I felt like religion, and I chose the words very specifically, it's an indirect conduit to, you know, ethics and morals and stuff. And the reason why I say indirect is because you can very easily just say, you know, there's no religion and just be ethical and moral. You know, other people, it's that easy.
Right.
You know, and so it's indirect, you know, and there's another word that I used, I can't remember exactly what it was, but, you know, it's meant for that. I believe it's like a language, you know, I speak English, someone else might speak Spanish, it's because of where we were raised, you know, it's not one is right or one is wrong, you know, it's just, it's some kind of conduit to a certain way. Language is a conduit to communication, I believe. Religion is just a conduit to being able to love people, you know, use morals, use ethics.
It should be, but like when we were in Austria, there was this bridge, and in a lot of the churches too. There were like pictures, all, you know, like murals, paintings of, you know, of like certain things in the Bible, you know, and the reason those were all over the place was because back a long time ago, before people could read, the church had these things painted so they could tell the people what they had to believe, and so people would believe it, you know. So it should be about love, but a lot of times it's about control,
right.
Like what you said, you know, you have more babies and keep them in the Catholic church, and, you know, so.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I think it's definitely an indirect conduit, you know, because a lot of people can use it, you know, to do things. I mean, you know, you've got people who are running huge missions and ministries, you know, to go and not convert people, but just help them, you know, like die, and like people who came down for Katrina, you know, and stuff like that, you know, but like you said, unfortunately, from a administrational standpoint, it's not, you know, so it's really weird when you think about it, because, and I was thinking about this the other day, I was playing in a golf tournament, because I was just walking, and so I was thinking about it, you know, that, you know, we can base ourselves on just the fact that we're animals, we're just like dogs and cats and stuff, and we just have grown to a consciousness that we understand that you are a person, you know, Tyler's a person, we're all people. And then that gave rise to people asking, well, you know, there has to be a reason. And so people just said, well, there had to be some person that gave it to us.
Right.
And then it all started. You know, right. I mean, there's no reason to believe that there's some kind of ultimate being, ultimate place. You know, I mean, we're all...
We're in Florida.
We're in Florida. That's just it. Where our bodies are in Florida, and we are cognizant enough to realize that we're in Florida. Yeah,
but Florida is a decision that we made.
Right.
This is just land, but we decided this is Florida.
Right, and we
did. We did not help our way to Florida. We
drove to Florida. We burned
gas. Was
that all the way to Florida.
We didn't hope to Florida. Oh,
in the rain.
We could still be at Mr. Zwerg's house if we were just sitting there praying that we could get to Florida.
Right.
For 30 minutes, we sat there and yacked in the house while everyone died in the RV of heat exhaustion.
That would be faith without words, you know.
Which, as we say in the Bible, was dead.